الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله، والحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن ولا وبعد. First and foremost, of course, Ikhwan, we apologize, Ikhwan Fari. Extremely late time we've arrived. Sure, we've been on the road for about 3.5 or so hours. And half of the mushkil is in London itself, not so much getting to London. I commend, no doubt, all of the brothers who have remained and been patient. And we hope, inshallah, that there is something from benefit that you receive in tonight's sitting for your patience, inshallah. The topic of the miracles of the Quran, Ikhwan, is one that is a difficult topic, a very, very trying topic to compile and to lecture around, since it is from the affairs that, number one, have in them an indication of the dala'il al-nubuwa and of the proof of the prophethood of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and number two, because of the fact that many have entered into the topic with speech that, while their intent and their qasd may be sincere, the speech that they have uttered concerning the topic and the mawdu' is speech that is not correct, not established upon any usus or any foundations that are sound. And so the topic then is one that, of course, Ikhwan, returns back to a study of the book and the sunnah, and that which is indicated by the book and the sunnah, from that which indicates the miraculous nature of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The topic then is one that we will try and address from a standpoint, particularly of us living here in the West, of looking at those things, Ikhwan, that may be beneficial within our da'wah. Since oftentimes living in the West, we're faced by individuals who ask the question, and the question is oftentimes posed to us: how do you know? What is the proof? And the Quran is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the proof? Yani, you Muslims, you constantly make the claim that it is the book of Allah, but what is the proof? And so the concentration then, since there are many angles that we could approach a topic from, one of a linguistic angle, and the linguistic virtues that are present within it, and the mu'jiza that relates to the language and to the logha. Similarly, by looking at the historical miracles that are present within the Quran, by looking at that which is established from the things that were mentioned that would occur, those things that not only occurred historically, but those things that the Quran mentions will occur. And all of those things, Ikhwan, if we look at them collectively, then we have a wide or vast range of topics that relate to the topic of the mu'jizat of the Qur'an. But there is no doubt that the Prophet ﷺ, Ikhwan, he mentioned in an authentic hadith that Allah Azza wa Jal, as it relates to the prophets and the messengers, that there was never a prophet or a messenger except that Allah Azza wa Jal gave him from the miracles and from the affairs that which would make anyone who hears him believe in his message. And that which the Messenger ﷺ was given was the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions concerning the prophets and messengers, رُسُلًا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةً بَعْدَ الرُّسُلِ. Messengers giving glad tidings and warning that there will be no excuse, or that the people may have no excuse with Allah Azza wa Jal after the sending of the messengers. And that would necessitate then that those prophets and messengers came with that which, if an individual was sincere and he looked at those statements, or looked at what it was they brought, it would be categorical that that was a messenger of Allah, and therefore it would either be acceptance or rejection. But acceptance upon recognizing truth or rejection after recognizing truth. And thus the hujjah of Allah Azza wa Jalla will be established upon them. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla, as He mentions elsewhere, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذَّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا, that we were not going to punish any individual until we sent a messenger. Again, an indication of the fact that the justice of Allah Azza wa Jalla would dictate that a messenger would be sent, the message would be established, the affair would be wadih and clear, and there is nothing for individuals after that except to accept or reject. Therefore, the prophets and the messengers, Allah Azza wa Jal gave them that which was relative to them and relative to their time. Indeed, the people of knowledge, they mentioned concerning the previous prophets and messengers that they received that which was relative to them. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, it was mentioned, as Ahlul Ilm mentioned, as Shaykh Sa'di and others, that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, during his time, the people of it had excelled in medicine. And so that which Allah Azza wa Jal gave to Isa was that which superseded anything that they had and anything that they could concoct. And so he cured the blind, he healed the leper, and other than that, from that which Allah Azza wa Jal gave him from the mu'jizat. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam dwelled in a time that had excelled, or its people had excelled in sihr and in magic. And so Allah Azza wa Jal gave him from the mu'jizat that which superseded anything that they could concoct and they could bring about. And so the prophets and the messengers, each and every one of them was given from the mu'jizat that which was relevant to his time, relevant to his people. And it is on the basis of that that the people of knowledge mentioned that the mu'jizat that the Messenger of Allah was given, the miracle that the Messenger was given of the Quran, alongside the other miracles, ikhwan, that we could possibly discuss on another occasion, but the miracles that occur in the Sunnah, the miracles that were manifest at the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those things that took place, ikhwan, many of them superseding that which the prophets and messengers of the past came with. Just as Isa ibn Maryam, he fed individuals from a small amount of bread and fish, as occurs, if we accept that that was authentic, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did that which was similar on numerous occasions. That which superseded the narrations that we hear being cited about Jesus, about Isa, the son of Mary. And from the miraculous occurrences, similarly, that which we see when we study the story of Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, the messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, was given that, ikhwan, which far superseded much of that. The splitting of the moon. يعني, a mu'jiza azima jiddan. One of the greatest of the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on an occasion, and Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, he mentions that it occurred more than once. In fact, it occurred twice, that the mushrikun, they came and said, show us a sign, then a clear sign, that you truly are the messenger of Allah. And so he pointed towards the moon, and the moon split. And that happened on more than one occasion. The moon split in two, and half of it sat on one mountain, and half of it sat on another. And so the miracles that were present within the Sunnah, ikhwan, are numerous and plentiful. And we have from the people of knowledge, those who have gathered, ikhwan, those mu'jizat in kutub and in books, gathering the miraculous occurrences that took place at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Naturally, as it relates to the one who was present at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, then he would have seen those mu'jizat, he would have witnessed them, and that would be sufficient for him. He would have seen that. Like the occasion when the Prophet ﷺ, he was asked concerning showing them a sign, and he pointed towards the root of a tree. And the tree split through the ground and came to the Prophet ﷺ, bowing. And then he pointed back at the tree, and the tree returned back to its place. Those who were present could see the sign, could see that which was manifest in front of them. And so it was a manifest mu'jiza, a manifest miracle, ikhwan. They didn't have to argue concerning it. And so the one who was obstinate, the one who was arrogant, the way that they would reject that was this, would be to say that it is magic, nothing but sihr. When Allah Azza wa Jal made the Prophet ﷺ split the moon and blessed him with that mu'jiza, what was it that they said? اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر وإن يروا آية يعرضوا فيقول سحر مستمر. That indeed the hour is close and the moon is split, and when they see a sign, they turn away And they say this is nothing but ongoing magic. And so the one who then has nothing but rejection in his qalb and doesn't want to accept, doesn't want to have that open mind and look at the thing objectively and look at it from a standpoint of recognizing truth and analyzing the affair correctly. When we're looking at the affair of the mu'jizat, we must bear in mind constantly, ikhwan, the hal of the Arab during that time and that which the Messenger of Allah, or the bi'ah and the society that the Messenger of Allah grew within. The Messenger alayhi salatu salam, from his youth, as you're acquainted and as you know, he grew he was raised among Banu Sa'da. And Banu Sa'da were known, ikhwan, for their eloquence in terms of the logha and for them excelling in the knowledge of the language. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as was the case with many of the Arab, he wasn't taught to read and write, but he benefited from the tongue. So in terms of the tongue and the logha al-arabiyya, then no doubt he received the best in terms of nurturing upon the language. He received and he took and he grew and he learned from the best of those who spoke the logha al-arabiyya. As far as him reading and writing, fala, he was not able to read and write. And so we must constantly bear in mind the fact that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam could not read and write, and that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was illiterate. That is, ikhwan, of the essence. It is important that we understand that when we're looking at the topic of the mu'jizat. Similarly, we must bear in mind that the Arab, ikhwan, were not a people of the book. They were not a people of scripture, and they were not a people, ikhwan, of the knowledge, or knowledge of the international affairs, knowledge of the world. They were not that type of people. They were acquainted with the affairs of the Arab. Naam. The qaba'il, the tribes, the ayam of the Arab, the shi'r al-arabi, all of those affairs they were acquainted with. Naam. That which related to them as a people. But generally, they were not acquainted, ikhwan, or very well acquainted with that which occurred outside of the Arabian Peninsula. They were not acquainted with that which occurred, mathalan, across oceans and across seas and in various other places. That then is another affair that we must bear in mind. Similarly, from the issues that we should bear in mind is that the people claim that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he authored the Quran so that, which is oftentimes used by many of the mustashriqoon, those who praise him and those who say that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was a praiseworthy character and so on, they oftentimes and usually couple that with saying, I don't believe that he's a prophet, but what I do believe is that he authored a book, the Quran, and that he affected a people who were degenerate. And the state that they were in, they needed someone to come and to uplift them and to change their state. You know, they had reached the bottom of the pit of degradation. And so the Messenger, when he came, he changed their state, he uplifted them, he gave them hope, and he inspired them, and he changed much of their taqaleed, changed much of their cultural practices to practices that were better. But that was really all that he did. And so, we don't say that he was a messenger of God, a messenger that was sent. We don't say that, but we say that he was a great man. And the things that he achieved were tremendous. And so that is another claim, again, from the things that we must bear in mind. Bal, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, from his relatives and from his fellow tribesmen, what else you said that he claims that Allah Azza wa Jal has revealed to him? From the beginning of the Risala, from the beginning of the Messenger of Allah being sent with the message, as occurs in a narration that was collected by Ibn Ishaq, and Shaykh al-Nasir authenticates in Sahih Sirah al-Nabawiyyah, that the Ufayth, who later became a companion, he said that I remember looking in front of or standing in the vicinity of the Kaaba, and I had travelled to Mecca for trade. And when I came to Mecca, I traveled there for trade. When I came to Mecca, I entered and spent time with Al-Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib. And Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib was a tradesman. And see, he said, I came and I spent some time with him. And while I was in the vicinity of the Kaaba, I saw a man standing in front of the Kaaba. And then a Shab came. A young boy came and stood beside him. And then they began to pray. And then a woman came and stood behind them. And they began to pray in front of the Kaaba. And I saw him bow. And I saw him going into prostration. And so I said, Deenun Azeem. He said, this is something great. Amrun Azeem. He said, what is this deen? Saying to Al-Abbas. And Al-Abbas, he said, that is Ibn Ammi. Yaz'umu anna Allah arsala. He said, that is my Ibn Ammi. Ibn Akhi. That is my nephew. He claims that Allah Azza wa Jal has sent him. And the one beside him is Ali ibn Abi Talib. He has believed in him. And the woman behind him is his wife, Khadija bint Khuwaylid. And she has followed him upon his deen. And so Uthayth, who later became a Muslim, he said, if only I had embraced at that time and I would have been the fourth of the three. And so the claim then, or the statement, that the Prophet ﷺ claims that he's a messenger, again, Ikhwan, is from the affairs that even at the time of the messenger himself, there were those who made that statement and made those claims. Al-Abbas, of course, later went on to embrace Islam, but that was from the initial statements that they made and the claims that they made against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when we're looking then at the affairs of the mu'jizat of the Qur'an, and we're looking at the miracles of the Qur'an, Ikhwan, one of the things that we should look at are these affairs. This should be the premise when we're looking at the topic. People claiming that he was just a man that wrote a book, number one. People claiming that he was not a prophet, but he uplifted the Arab. And again, Ikhwan, when we look at that which is related to the book of Allah itself, we see that there are certain things that are not congruent with that narrative. No doubt the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if it is as you say, that he only wanted to have people follow him, and he only wanted to uplift the Arab, then the name of the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it occurs in the book of Allah on five occasions. Muhammad, on five occasions. You would believe that a man who only wanted to have people follow him, and a man who claimed to be a prophet but was not actually a prophet, you would believe that his book and his authorship would be peppered with his name. Muhammad, Muhammad, follow Muhammad, he's the one he must be with, he would be peppered. You imagine if you were writing or formulating a religion, and the religion revolved around you, and that religion was one that you wrote with the intent of people following you, then of course, Ikhwan, from the beginning to the end of that religion, it will be filled with your name and with your mention, since that was your intention. Your intention is for the people to follow you. Regardless of the claims that you make, that Allah has sent you and so on, actually, the intent is that the people follow you. The name Muhammad then occurs in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal on five separate occasions, and nowhere do we even find Muhammad ibn Abdullah. You would at least believe he would mention his full name, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. But in the Quran, we do not find Muhammad ibn Abdullah in one place in the book of Allah. Even when the Messenger of Allah, his name is mentioned, it is mentioned as Muhammad. With that being the case, Ikhwan, we'll look at then some of the affairs and some of the issues related to the mu'jizat and the miracles that occur within the Quran. From those affairs, Ikhwan, and bihamdulillah, in our time and in this era, with that which has occurred from discovery we are able more and more to fortify and to establish the fact that this book is from Allah Azza wa Jal, and that there are things that have been discovered that bring the reality of the mu'jiza of the Quran to the forefront of the minds of individuals, to the forefront of their minds. And it is apt that we mention the forefront of their minds, since from the mu'jizat of the Quran is that which Allah Azza wa Jal mentions concerning kadhib and concerning lying, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions concerning the kuffar, an individual from among the kuffar of Quraysh, when Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that we will grab him by his nasiyah, grab him by his nasiyah, which is the front of his head, or the area of the forelock. If one were to have a forelock of hair, it would begin from the nasiyah. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, nasiyatin, kadhibatin khati'ah. The nasiyah, the lying, sinful nasiyah. The nasiyah is the same region, ayyuhal ikhwah, as the frontal lobe of the brain. And the frontal lobe of the brain, as is established in science, is the area that if a person wishes to conjure up a lie, lies occur in the front of the brain. That area of the brain known as the frontal lobe. And so it is apt that we mention the forefront of our minds, that our minds, ikhwan, are not from those nasiya, kadhibatin, khati'ah, those lying, sinful forelocks, the front of the head or the front of the brain, ikhwan, establishing here that Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned or indicates by way of that verse that which, ikhwan, the Messenger of Allah could not have known. Why not say grab him by his neck? Why not say grab him by his head generally? But Allah Azza wa Jal mentions by his lying forelock, the front of his head. And the ayat, ikhwan, that indicate that the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could not have conjured these verses up and could not have conjured these affairs up are many. From them, ikhwan, we have the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal as occurs in Surah Fussilat. Allah Azza wa Jal addresses the affair of the beginnings of creation. And we'll take the mas'ala from that standpoint, the beginning of creation. That is the beginning of the creation of the ard, of the earth as we know it. All of you, I'm sure, are acquainted with the fact that we do not reject the concept of there being an initial big bang. And that is something that Allah Azza wa Jal makes mention of in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions, na'am, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كَانُوا رَتْقًا. Allah Azza wa Jal, أو كَانَتَ رَتْقًا. Do the heaven, or those who disbelieve, do they not see that the heavens and the earth, كَانَتَ رَتْقًا, that the two of them were meshed together, or were one entity, were one affair, were one entity, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions. And bearing in mind, ikhwan, that there was no one from the kuffar, or no one from human being alive when that affair manifested. When that affair took place, there was no one alive from human being. Yet, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, do the kuffar, yani do those who disbelieve not see that the heavens and the earth were ratqan, were together, and we cleft them asunder, yani we split them. فَفَتَكْنَاهُمَا, and we split the two of them apart. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that we split them apart, and that splitting is not something, ikhwan, that is rejected by those who reject the book of Allah as the book of Allah. Bal, it is something affirmed by them. They claim and they mention that the heavens and the earth, yani they were existing as one entity. And that entity, it started as I believe they refer to it as the primeval sea. Yani a body of gases. And those gases, hydrogen, helium, lithium, and they were not, yani they were non-transparent gases. That is, they were gases that were visible. Though they were gases that were visible. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, as it relates to the creation of the heavens, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ, and then Allah Azza wa Jal turned his attention towards the sama. Allah Azza wa Jal turned towards the sama, and it was dukhan. And it was smoke. And that, no doubt, ikhwani, is what the combination of those gases, since there were none, they were non-transparent, and so they could be visible. They were visible gases. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that we turned to the heavens, and they were gases, or they were dukhan. Afwan, they were dukhan. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that we said to it, that is to the heavens, walil ard i'tina taw'an aw karha, come in submission or forcefully. And so the heavens and the earth said, "Ataina ta'i'in," that we will come in submission. That again is from the affairs, ikhwan, establishing that the scientific concept that they have recently discovered, the Messenger of Allah, in that which he was given from the Quran, was reciting these verses upon the companions some 1400 years ago. 1400 years ago, ikhwan, when the concept of the creation and the heavens and the earth wasn't even being discussed. Similarly, from the affairs that has recently been discovered, is that which is present within the science of astronomy. And various astronomers have established the fact that an analysis of the galaxies that are around us and an analysis of the celestial bodies, it is observed that the heavens and the earth, they are, well, the heavens and the heavenly bodies, that they continue after Allah Azza wa Jal had created them, that they continue to expand. And that is something that they discuss around a topic known as dark matter or dark energy. Scientifically, they refer to it as dark energy. And what this dark energy is, they say, is that when you look at the universe, we have that which is present among the stars and the various planets from the gravitational pulls that those stars and planets have. But they say, strangely, there is something that they're unable to explain. And that is that there seems to be an opposite force. And that opposite force seems to be a repelling force within the universe. And that is, alongside the gravitational pull that some planets and stars have, that the planets and stars have, that draw affairs inwardly, there is likewise the presence of what they now refer to as dark energy. And this dark energy is something, again, that they are unable to explain. But they say that it is something that appears to be pushing the celestial bodies in an outwardly direction. What it is, they can't explain. But they definitely know, and it is observed, that the universes, the various galaxies, and generally the universe, the celestial bodies, are moving in an outwardly direction. Yani it is expanding. But they're unable to explain it, since the majority of their study revolves around gravitational pulls. And that is, wherever we have these stars or galaxies, the various galaxies, the Andromeda galaxy and the other galaxies, that there is something from a pull towards those bodies. So this affair, because they can't explain it, they've observed it, they refer to it as dark energy. And Allah Azza wa Jal, ikhwan, again, some 1400 years ago, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned was sama banaynaha bi aidin wa inna lamusi'un, that indeed the sama we have created it bi aidin, in strength and with might. Wa inna lamusi'un, and verily we are expanding it. Again, ikhwan, if you look then at the fact that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked back at the claims, illiterate, he wrote a book just for the upliftment of the Arab, he wrote a book that was not from God but that had in it that which was uplifting, why then would he mention the affair wa inna lamusi'un, that verily we are expanding it? Why would that even be a concept that he would mention? Why? Why not just leave it as it is? Why not just leave the mention of the heavens and the earth that they observe, and leave alone that which they would not necessarily have observed? Why would the Messenger ﷺ make mention of that, if it were that the Prophet ﷺ indeed wrote the Quran? Similarly, ikhwan, from issues and from the affairs that relate or that indicate clearly that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not the author of the Quran but was nothing but a messenger from the messengers of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again related to the heavens and our discussion of the heavens, ikhwan, particularly when we're looking at universes and stars and what have you, is a discussion of the lowest heaven, since it is the first heaven that Allah Azza wa Jalla has beautified with stars. The celestial bodies, they occur within the lowest heaven. And Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions that throughout the Quran, that He has beautified Sama Dunya, the lowest heaven. And so this discussion then, just to let us understand something of the tremendous nature of the creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla and of the heavens and of the earth, that this discussion revolves around the lowest heaven, just one of the heavens that Allah Azza wa Jalla has created. There is an issue, ikhwan, again related to the stars. As it relates to the stars, there are a number of stars that astronomers discuss and study. From them we have various dwarfs, the white dwarf and the various dwarf stars. Those stars, ikhwan, go through a number of stages. One of the stages of the star is that a star becomes what they refer to as a neutron star or a pulsar star. And that is a star, ordinarily it reaches the stage of a white dwarf, and then it explodes. And when it explodes, of course, ikhwan, it is brilliant. And it is radiant when it explodes. Yeah, and it is magnificent. But what happens within the star is that the core of the star collapses. And as the star explodes and its core collapses, there is a strong gravitational pull around the core of that star. And so it begins to rotate and it emits radiation. And that radiation, scientists have detected that it emits a sound. And that is why they refer to it as a pulsar. And you can listen, ikhwan, to, there are various recordings, and you can listen when you are in your own time. If you search pulsar sounds on YouTube, then there are, NASA has recorded some of them, and there are various scientists who have recorded the sound of the star. And it is a continual knocking sound. It is a continual knocking sound. Some of them are, depending upon the size of the star, the rotation variates. In some instances, you have the star rotating some 11 times a second. in some instances 30 times a second, in some instances a few hundred times a second. So depending upon the size of the star, the nature of its collapse, the collapse of its core, that rotation becomes violent. And so on some occasions you have a knock that is similar to that. And then we have a knock that is similar to that. And then the faster it becomes, it sounds more of a clicking sound than a knocking sound. But those pulsars are from the stars, ayyuha al-ikhwa, that when they explode, and there are pictures that you can view for yourself online, when they explode, they are brilliant. Yeah, and in terms of the light that comes from them, yeah, and you can imagine an exploding star. Yeah, and the light that comes from them is tremendous. But there is an indication, ikhwan, of that which is related to those exploding stars in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal makes an oath and swears by a particular type of star. Allah Azza wa Jal, as occurs in Surah Tariq, mentions وَالسَّمَاءِ وَالطَّارِقِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الطَّارِقِ النَّجْمُ الثَّاقِبِ. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, by the heavens, that Allah takes an oath, by the heavens and the Tariq. The term Tariq, in its origin and its asl, was used by the Arab to refer to an individual that knocks the door by night. And there are a number of ahadith that have in them an indication and use the same word, that someone knocked the door of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knocked someone else's door, as occurs in a hadith in Bukhari concerning Ali radiallahu anhu, when the Prophet ﷺ went to visit him. So this term Tariq is a reference to someone who knocks and visits by night. And so when he knocks, he yatruq al-bab, he knocks the door. And so Allah Azza wa Jal mentions wassama'i wat-tariq, by the heavens and by the Tariq. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الطَّارِقِ, and what will let you know what the Tariq is? Allah Azza wa Jal mentions النَّجْمُ الثَّاقِبِ, it is the brilliant star. It is عجيب, and an increase in amazement for the one who marvels over the beauty of the Quran and that which Allah Azza wa Jal has revealed within it, and the haqq that is present within it. Since Allah Azza wa Jal described the Tariq as Thaqib, the term Thaqib, ikhwan, has two main usages in the Lugha al-Arabiyya, in the Arabic language. Thaqib or Thuqb may be used to mean Mudhi, and that was how many of the Mufassirun from the Salaf of this Ummah, Ibn Abbas and others, had described the term Thaqib, يعني مضي, radiant, bright, brilliant, light. And that is how you will find the majority of the scholars of Tafsir making mention of the affair of the stars, and particularly the term Thaqib. But the term Thuqb likewise refers to that which bores a hole into something, or a hole that is born into something. And that thuqb is used again in the Arabic language to refer to various things. A buttonhole is referred to as a thuqb. And this term then, it is used either to mean something that is bright and radiant, or to refer to something that bores a hole into something. Which is ajeeb, ikhwan, when we look at the pulsar. Because the life of the pulsar, after being an exploding star, its core rotating violently, it ultimately implodes upon itself. That is, it becomes a black hole. After being a radiant star, the core, when it rotates, continues to rotate to the extent that it implodes upon itself. And so we have almost a reversal of that which was present prior to it imploding. That bright star, that bright radiant star, it now creates a hole. Naturally, that hole is referred to as a black hole. And so it is ajeeb that Allah Azza wa Jal, when He describes the Tariq, He refers to it as an-najmu thaqib. And the term thaqib is used for radiant brightness, and it is also used to refer to that which is a hole, or that which bears a hole into something else. Similarly, ikhwan, from the issues and from the affairs that are discussed around the topic of the mu'jizat of the Quran, and we're still within the heavens, is that which Allah Azza wa Jal makes mention in one of the earlier of the, or the earliest of the Quran, the surah of the Quran that was revealed. Before we make mention of the surah, there was a theory that was relatively recently discussed, ikhwan, particularly by Einstein. Einstein discussed something that he maintained existed, and it was one of the reasons that they referred to him as Shwayat Majnoon. And that he used to say and believe that in the skies and in the heavens, there are regions within the heaven that he used to refer to as wormholes. And he believed that there were regions within the heavens that were similar to tunnels. By way of these tunnels, one could cross and traverse from one area in the universe, and naturally when we're speaking of the universe, again we're speaking of the heavens, the sama. From one area of the heavens to another area of the heavens, and cross what they refer to as space-time. That is, move from one area of the heavens to another area in with extreme rapid movement, to the extent, he believed, that you could possibly cross what we ordinarily know as regular time, alongside crossing a great distance within the universe. And so, again, they would refer, or they referred to him as being, or this is from the deranged concepts that Einstein, yani that he maintained. But in essence, if we look at that which Allah Azza wa Jal has revealed to us, and that which the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had from the ayat and from the earliest of the verses of the Quran, we have that which indicates that Allah Azza wa Jal truly has pathways. And those pathways, truly, the one who traverses between them, traverses along a pathway that cuts through time as we know it. Time as we know it, yani here on earth. Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned, سَأَلَ سَائِلٌ بِعَذَابٍ وَاقِعٍ لِلْكَافِرِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُ دَافِعٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ ذِي الْمَعَارِجِ. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, indeed, a questioner asked concerning a torment that was about to befall upon the disbelievers. لَيْسَ لَهُ دَافِعٍ, none can avert. مِنَ اللَّهِ ذِي الْمَعَارِجِ, from Allah Azza wa Jal, the owner and the possessor of the ways of ascent. The possessor of the ways of ascent. And the ways of ascent were pathways that the angels, the malaika, they pass through when they leave the dunya and ascend back to Allah Azza wa Jal, then they pass through ma'arij. And this term ma'arij is and returns back to the term uruj, which is the action itself of ascending. Ma'arij, a place of uruj. Just as su'ud is to ascend, the mas'ad is the elevator that one ascends in. Allah Azza wa Jal here then mentions, min Allahi dhil ma'arij. Then Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, ta'ruju al-mala'ikatu. Wal-ruh. That Allah mentions that the mala'ika and the ruh. And the term ruh here is a reference to Jibreel, as no doubt many of the mufassirun have mentioned. تَعْرُجُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ 50,000 سَنَةً. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that the malaika and the ruh, they ascend to Allah by way of these ma'arij, these means and these turuq of ascent. They return back to Allah Azza wa Jal fi yawm, in one day. كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ 50,000 سَنَةً. In one day, its estimation, يعني with you and your days, would be 50,000 سنة, 50,000 years. Of course, when astronomers speak in terms of years and in terms of light years, they speak of the amount of time that it takes light to travel, and that the distance from such and such is 50,000 light years or 1,000,000 light years or whatever. That estimation is something that, of course, is just that, an estimation. Allah Azza wa Jal, though, when Allah informs us of that which He informs us of, these are affairs that without doubt are thabit, established. And so Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, تَعْرُجُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ فِي يَوْمٍ وَالْرُوحِ فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ 50,000 سَنَةً. That the malaika and the ruh, they pass through these means of ascent, these pathways, in a period or in one day, the estimation of which would be 50,000 سنة, would be 50,000 years. Yani 50,000 years of your estimation. Again, ikhwan, the question that has to be posed and has to be asked is, how would the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how would he be acquainted with those ma'arij? How would the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad, why would he write a book in the middle of the desert, being an illiterate man? Why would he write a book and speak of ma'arij? Why? How would the Arab, if I was just an individual intending to write a book, again, remember the claim. If I was an individual intending to write a book to uplift the people, then why would I even mention something that may put my book into disrepute? Because the Arab are going to say, what is he talking about? Alaysa kadhalik? Which ma'arij? We can't see anything above us. And so, it is likely to create a problem. More than establish the fact that I am a messenger. Or more than establish the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is one that you should follow. It is likely to open or to begin the pre-Islamic Arab questioning. He speaks of things that make no sense. He speaks of things that we cannot see. Alaysa kadhalik? But since the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah, and his duty was to convey, not, ikhwan, to convince them that he was one that they should follow, but to convey from Allah Azza wa Jal, and that Allah would establish him as a messenger, and that Allah Azza wa Jal would give him the mu'jizat that are necessary, whether in his time, for those who were around him, or that which is present within the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, from the ayat, ikhwan, that are continual. Similarly, from the affairs, ikhwan, that indicate, again, the affair of the mu'jiza and the miraculous nature of the Quran, and that it is actually from Allah Azza wa Jal, the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala خلق السماوات والأرض بالحق يكور الليل على النهار ويكور النهار على الليل. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that He created the heavens and the earth in haqq, in truth. He makes the night revolve around the day, or wrap around the day. And He makes the day wrap around the night. In this verse, ikhwan, Allah Azza wa Jal uses the term yukawwir or takwir. The term takwir is ordinarily used in reference, and oftentimes used with the Arab in reference to the turban. That the turban, it is said concerning it, that one makes takwir of the turban around the head. Since takwir is the act of wrapping something around something spherical. That it is something wrapped around something spherical. Here Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in the verse, يُكَوِّرُ اللَّيْلُ عَلَى النَّهَارُ وَيُكَوِّرُ النَّهَارُ عَلَى اللَّيْلِ. That Allah Azza wa Jal causes the earth to wrap, or the night to wrap around the day, and the day to wrap around the night. Similarly, we have the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ يُغْشِي اللَّيْلَ النَّهَارِ يطلبه حثيثا والشمس والقمر والنجوم مسخرات بأمره ألا له الأمر ألا له الخلق والأمر. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that indeed Allah Azza wa Jal, your Lord is Allah who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, ثم استوى على العرش, and then He rose above the throne. He brings the night to cover over the day, يطلبه حثيثا, and it seeks after it rapidly. It seeks after it rapidly. If we look at these two verses, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, يُكَوِّرُ اللَّيْلَ عَلَى النَّهَارِ وَيُكَوِّرُ النَّهَارَ عَلَى اللَّيْلِ. Number one, that He causes the night to wrap around the day, and the day to wrap around the night. Number two, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, نعم يغشى الليل النهار يطلبه حثيثا, that the night wraps around the day, or the night wraps around the day, يطلبه حثيثا, seeking it rapidly, that is moving rapidly around it. Look then first and foremost at the people, ikhwan, who this ayah and these verses were revealed upon. Bal, look at the state of the whole of the dunya at that time, the time of the revelation of these verses. These verses were revealed upon a people who believed that the earth was flat, and that the earth, ikhwan, did was not spherical at all. Bal, that it was nothing but a flat plane, and that is it. There's nothing but a flat plane, and that is it. Bal, as was the case in many of the Western, or the belief of the people in the Western Hemisphere, was that you'd fall off the edge if you go too far. And that was up to very relatively recently. You traverse too far, you fall off the edge of the earth. They used to believe that. Here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ikhwan, 1400 years ago, the ayah that he received, يُكَوِّرُ اللَّيْلُ عَلَى النَّهَارِ وَيُكَوِّرُ النَّهَارَ عَلَى اللَّيْلِ, He causes the earth to wrap around the day. If you were to just observe the day and the night from the standpoint of an individual looking at the sky, you wouldn't actually observe any wrapping taking place. And you don't see any form of... And we just... Yani, the reason we're arguing in this manner is just to look at the argument of the one who claims that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote the Quran himself, and that it is not a miracle. Rather, He wrote it himself. Yani, the fact that, ikhwan, we have a Quran, and the fact that he was illiterate is a miracle enough. But let's look at their claim that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wrote it himself. If he wrote it himself, why would he describe the day as wrapping around the night, and the night as wrapping around the day? That of course is something observed, yani something that we observe from the globe itself. That we see the day as it traverses, or as the night or night falls and spreads across the globe, it is as though nightfall follows and chases the day, and the day, like hours, chase the night. And that thing continues perpetually around the globe, that we see night covering the day and the day covering the night. That was not something that they would even conceptualize at that time, that the night follows the day and the day wraps around the night. Since they didn't believe that the earth was round in any way. And so why would the Messenger make that statement? Why describe that which indicates something that is round, something spherical? Why describe it in that manner if it was not something that the Messenger received from Allah Azza wa Jal? Why would he describe it in that manner? When the people in the Arab at that time were not believers, or were not individuals who believed in anything of that nature. Similarly, ikhwana, we're still in the heavens. The statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, again indicating the miraculous nature of the Quran, the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّكًا حَرَجًا كَأَنَّمَا يَصَعَّدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, the one who Allah Azza wa Jal wishes to guide, يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ, he expands his chest to Islam. وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّكًا حَرَجًا كَأَنَّمَا يَصَعَّدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ. The one who Allah Azza wa Jal wishes to guide, he expands his chest to Islam. But the one who he wishes to misguide, he makes his chest tight and constricted. كَأَنَّمَا يَصَعَّدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ, as though he is being elevated into the heavens. Again, the question rises. Here the description revolves around a person having dhiq in his chest, an inability to breathe. How would the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam know that if you were to ascend into the sama, that if you ascend into the heavens, slowly but surely oxygen levels deplete, and that you find difficulty, or you have difficulty breathing? How would the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam know that eventually you would have a dhiq, and it would ultimately be impossible to breathe? How would the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam know that? How? Since aviation, ikhwan, didn't occur until the 19th century, 20th century. How would the Messenger of Allah know that there was no oxygen up in the sky? Again, from the affairs, ikhwan, that indicate clearly that the Messenger of Allah received these verses from Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, Allah Azza wa Jal refers to that which covers our skies, and that which covers that which we see from the atmosphere. That atmosphere, ayyuhal ikhwa, it is now known that it is, because of that which is present within it, there is much within it from protective gases, from a protective radiation barrier that surrounds the dunya. And that atmosphere, ikhwan, it prevents much from harmful rays, it prevents harmful gases from getting into where human beings exist. And it is a magnetic, if you like, shield that surrounds the dunya, and it is referred to as a radiation shield. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, it relates, ikhwan, to the skies, وَجَعَلْنَا السَّمَاءَ سَقَفًا مَحْفُوظًا, that indeed we have made the sky a protective ceiling. A protective ceiling. That sky being a protective ceiling, how again? Would the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam know that the skies, ayyuhal ikhwa, and that which is around them from the atmosphere, that they are protective, or that they are a ceiling that protects and prevents that which is harmful from penetrating and that which is beneficial from leaving? That Allah Azza wa Jal made mention, no doubt, ikhwan, in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another verse, ikhwan, that indicates a mu'jiza from the mu'jizat of the Quran. The statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِنَا سَوْفَ نُصْلِيهِمْ نَارًا كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودَهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا لِيَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابِ. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, indeed, those who disbelieve in our ayat, سَوْفَ نُصْلِيهِمْ نَارًا, we shall burn them in the fire. And then Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that which is related to their punishment. كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ, every time their skin is burned, بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا, we shall exchange that skin with new skin. لِيَذُوقُ الْعَذَابِ, that they may taste the punishment. That which is related, ikhwan, to the skin itself is that the skin is made of two layers. Within those two layers, we have various types of nerve endings. We have the epidermis, which is the outer layer of skin, and then there is a layer beneath the epidermis, known as the dermis. The dermis is similarly considered from the skin, but it is the layer of skin that is beneath the surface of the epidermis. Within both layers, there are various types of nerve endings. From those nerve endings, there are nerve endings that are related to touch and feel, or the sense of touch. And from those nerve endings, there are those nerves that are related to pain. So those pain receptacles, they occur and exist within the top layer of skin, the epidermis. Listen again to the verse. كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا لِيَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابِ. Every time the skin is burnt off, yani the top layer of skin, we will replace them with fresh skin, that they may taste the punishment, that they may feel the punishment. And that again is an indication of the fact, ikhwan, that the skin and the pain that is inflicted upon the skin is one of the main areas that one feels pain. In fact, doctors, if there are any doctors in the room, any doctors in the room? Anybody? Anybody? If it was Birmingham, we'd have a few hands. No doctors in the room, Juan. But doctors would tell you, huh? Doctors would tell you that if we have a burn case, which is one of our brothers who's a doctor informed me of this a number of years ago, he said whenever we have a burn case that comes in, the first thing that we ask them is, can you feel anything? Can you feel anything? He said, because if they cannot feel anything, then it is an indication of the fact that it is a third degree burn. That is, the epidermis of the skin has been burnt in completion. And that which has occurred is that it has now burnt down to the dermis, the lower area of flesh, past the pain receptacle. And so Allah Azza wa Jal makes mention of the fact that when that dermis is removed, or the epidermis is removed, Allah Azza wa Jalla replaces it with fresh skin, so that they may taste the punishment. And so, again, why would the messenger, and how would the messenger know? What would indicate the fact that the skin, ikhwan, is the place that the pain receptacles they dwell. Tell me, pray, Isha. Ashra unus. Right. Or nsallim n'eid. Another one of the issues, ikhwan, another affair related to that which is present within the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, from the things that indicate clearly that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam could not have authored the book himself, is that which is related to some of the stories in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal, from the claims, ikhwan, that we hear oftentimes, is that Muhammad benefited from Christians, that he sat with people of the book, sat with Christians and Jews, he took from them, he learnt from them, and then he wrote his own book. And so he took some benefit from them, and he thought, I can do it myself, wrote his own book. Again, ikhwan, the fact that he's illiterate never actually comes into the frame. Lakin, the reality is, the Messenger couldn't read or write, even if he wanted to do so. Nonetheless, that is their claim, that he benefited from the people of the book, and then he went and wrote his own book. But what is ajib again, is that we find present within the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, if it were that he just benefited from the people of the book, and then wrote, if you like, his own Bible for the Arab, then we have a number, ikhwan, of issues, a number of stories and qasas that are present within the Quran, that the people of the book don't have. Or the detail of which is not with them. Allah Azza wa Jal, for example, mentions as it relates to the companions of the cave, سَيَكُولُونَ رَابِعَةٌ دَثَاثَةٌ رَابِعُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ وَيَكُولُونَ خَمْسَةٌ سَادِسُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ رَجْمًا بِالْغَيْبِ وَيَكُولُونَ سَبْعَةٌ وَثَامِنُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ قُلْ رَبِّ أَعْلَمُ بِعِدَّتِهِمْ مَا يَعْلَمُهُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that they shall say, that is the people of the book, they will say that they were four, a three, the fourth of them being their dog. A reference here to the companions of the cave, those who took, ikhwan, to the hills. Some youth who took to the hills because of the shirk that was present in their time. And so they took to the hills and took up residence in a cave and decided they were going to stay there and worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone. And so Allah Azza wa Jal put them to sleep, and they slept for 309 years. So Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned that the people of the book differed concerning them. He said they shall say three, and the fourth of them was their dog. Or they say five, and the sixth of them was their dog. Rajman bil ghayb, groping in the dark, grasping in the dark, guessing. And then Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, وَيَقُولُونَ سَبْعَةٌ وَثَامِنُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ. Or they will say that there were seven, and the eighth of them was their dog. قُلْ رَبِّ أَعْلَمُ بِعِدَّتِهِمْ. Say, my Lord knows about their number, and no one knows them إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. No one knows them other than a few. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he mentioned, وَأَنَا مِنَ الْقَلِيلِ. After reciting the ayah, he said, وَأَنَا مِنَ الْقَلِيلِ كَانُوا سَبْعَ. He said that I am from the few. Indeed, they were seven. These stories, ikhwan, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that they will differ concerning them. But there are numerous verses that indicate that we have a mention of things that were not present within the people of the book, or in the book of the people of the book. The statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, when Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the story of Maryam, that she, when it was time for her to give birth, that she took residence in an easterly place, in an easterly place, and then she gave birth to Isa, and then she returned to the people with the baby. And so they said to her, Ya Ukhta Harun, Ma kana abuki imra'a saw'in wa ma kanat ummuki baghiya. Fa asharat ilay, qalu kayfa nukallimu man kana fil mahdi sabiyya. Qala inni abdullah atani al-kitab wa ja'alani nabiyya wa ja'alani mubarakan aynama kunt. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that as it relates to them, when she returned with the baby, they said, O sister of Harun. And the scholars differ concerning what was intended by that. Yani, was she from the offsprings of Musa and Harun, or the lineage, or as occurs in some narrations that she, you know, that Musa and Harun, they had a sister called Maryam. In any case, they said, "O sister of Harun, ma kana abukum ra'asaw. Indeed, your father was not an evil man. Neither was your mother a prostitute. Fa asharat ilay." And so she pointed towards him. And so they said, "How are we going to speak to someone who is a baby in a cradle?" And so Isa ibn Maryam, he said, "Inni abdullah." He said, "Indeed, I am the servant of Allah. Atani al-kitab. He's given me a book. Waja'alani nabiyya. And he has made me a prophet. And he has made me blessed wherever I am." The story of Isa ibn Maryam speaking in the grave doesn't occur in the Bible. There's no mention of Isa ibn Maryam speaking in the grave at all. Qat'an. It is not in the cradle. In the cradle. In the cradle. That's why the third time I've done that now. At all. You won't find it. If one flick to the Bible, you won't find it. I don't encourage it, but you won't find it. Take my word for it. It's not there. And so you would believe then, if it was that he benefited from some of the people of the book, that he would mention the story, Arabize it, and give it to the Arab. But there is no mention of that which is present there in the book. Secondly, if it were that the Prophet ﷺ wrote that himself, no doubt he would write it knowing that he is opposing the people that he studied from. He is opposing his shuyukh. And that they would expose him. Alaysa kadhalik? They're going to say, "Well, no, you took from me, you sat with me, and I taught you that, and I didn't tell you anything about any baby speaking." Then they would expose him, since they were people of the book, and they were, yani, avid followers and believers in Isa ibn Maryam, and the fact that he died for their sins, and so on. So they would have exposed him. His teacher would have exposed him. Or someone who was close would have exposed him. As a man that sat with me, he took from me, but he didn't take that from me. And there are numerous places in the Quran, Ikhwan, where we have affairs that are not present in the book of the people of the book. Similarly, from the prophets and the messengers, Hud and Salih and others, not present within their book and their story, not present within their book. But in 1991, the BBC accepted and admitted, when they discovered the city of Iram, in 1991, they said the only place that this is mentioned, and in the city of Iram, Ad, the only place that this is mentioned is in the Quran. They mentioned that, 1991, and I remember that, Ikhwan, since we were new Muslims at the time. And so these affairs then, we find, establish further that the Prophet ﷺ did not create or make a book of his own. From those affairs then that relate to the stories of the prophets and the messengers, is that which is related to the story of Musa and Fir'aun. There are a number of issues, Ikhwan, related to the story of Musa and Fir'aun. But we want to concentrate upon some, not the main story, but some side issues related to the story connected to our topic. The first of those issues is an issue related to a topic that continues to be discussed by scientists, by geologists, by Egyptologists, and that is, how did the Egyptians build the pyramids? How was it done? And to this day, Ikhwan, there is a lot of argument and discussion around how could they have done it. The popular concept is that they carved the rock, they carved them out of larger rock, and then they had, yeah, and if you like, chain gangs that pulled the rock towards the area that they wanted to establish them in, yeah, and by way of some sort of conveyor belt or some pulley system that they would have created, and then they maneuvered those rocks into place. If you've ever seen the mountain or the pyramids, Ikhwan, those rocks are huge. Huge rocks. And so it still baffles them, and they still claim that, even though that is the most likely explanation, were unable really to say how it is done, because of the fact that even after our generally holding that they must have carved them, there is too much precision, yani geometrical precision, within the pyramid for us to say that it was just carved and then put into place. It would be, yani you would be, you'd see rocks out of place, you would see some bricks out of place. So they're still baffled about how exactly how it's done. But of recent times, Ikhwan, there has occurred a new body of research around the pyramids. There are a number of scientists who have taken samples of the rock that was present on the upper part of some of the pyramids. They took those samples and they put them under the microscope and looked at them at a molecular level. And what they noticed was that the stone and the rock that the uppermost parts were made of, that what they discovered was that as it relates to the molecular composition of that rock, it was not normal cement. In fact, there was an indication of the fact that the cement had been cooked, that prior to it becoming, or prior to it being put in its place, that it had been cooked as though, yani at a high temperature, and then they did something with that, yani that mixture, if you like. And so the latest, most probable explanation is that in actuality the Egyptians made those bricks from casts, yani from molds. And that is that they made the molds and they progressively made them as they built the pyramid. They made the mold, they would heat the mixture of gypsum and cement in a large furnace, and then they would place or build the rock inside of the mold that was already there. And so they would just empty the wet rock, the wet hot baked composition into the mold, leave it to dry, and then make the following brick. And that is most likely, and they are now saying that is, after looking at the rock on a molecular level, this is relatively recently, looking at the rock on a molecular level, that is the only explanation, only possible explanation, that they did it by making casts and molds. Listen then to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, Ikhwan, in an ayah that was revealed some 1400 years ago. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, وَقَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ يَا أَيُّهَا الْمَلَأُ مَا عَلِمْتُ لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرِي فَأَوْقِدْ لِي يَا هَامَانَ عَلَى الطِّينِ فَاجْعَلْ لِي صَرْحًا لَعَلِّي أَطَّلِعُ إِلَى إِلَهِ مُوسَى وَإِنِّي لَأَظُنُّهُ كَاذِبًا أَوْ لَأَظُنُّهُ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, and Fir'aun said, Ya Haman, Afwan, he said to his people, O people, I know of you having no God or no deity other than me. So Haman, light for me a fire to bake clay so that I can build a high or a rise high enough that I may see the God of Musa, who I think is a liar. And so what did he say? Make for me, build for me a kiln or an oven, yani that they would bake the composition down in, and then build that which they intend to build. How then would the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why would he even mention that? If it were just that he'd heard of a story about Musa and Fir'aun, it had come to him because it's not in the Bible, yani that breakdown of how they would build their structures using the kiln is not in the Bible. So he couldn't have taken it from the people of the book. Why then would he create that? What would be the benefit of creating that, and mentioning that, concerning a story, something that occurred many hundreds, possibly thousands of years before him? Why would he mention that Fir'aun said, Ya Haman, build for me a furnace, a kiln, that I may build clay, that we may build clay and build a sarah, build a tower, that we may climb upon it and look at the God of Musa, because indeed, I believe that he is kadiba, I believe that he is lying. Another issue related to Haman himself. Again, they claim that the Prophet ﷺ took from the people of the book. Haman. Where did he get Haman from? Because it's not mentioned in the Bible. You will not see Haman in the Charlton Heston rendition of that which occurred with Musa and Fir'aun. You won't see it. It's not in the 12 commandments. Why? Because they didn't have a mention of any Haman. The only mention of anyone with the name Haman was beside or in relation to a Babylonian king. Nothing to do with Egypt. So it just so happened that the name was used. But as far as Musa and Fir'aun, then there was no mention in the Bible of Haman. Or any name close. Haman, Amun, Amun. No close relation to any name similar or resembling that. But the affair though, of the history of that which is related, Ikhwan, and the statement of historians concerning the life of Fir'aun, one of the issues that is discussed is as it relates to Fir'aun and Musa, that they discuss which Fir'aun was it that existed at the time of Musa. Which Fir'aun existed at the time of Musa? And historically they conclude that it was one of two Fir'aun. It was one of two Fir'aun. The first is one known as Thutmose the third. Thutmose the third. His reign, they claim, was from 1479 to 1425 BC. He had and established what was known as the 18th dynasty within the Egyptian kings. They had various dynasties and reigns from such and such period to such and such period. This Thutmose the third was one that reigned from 1479 BC to 1425 and known as the 18th dynasty. And this is one, Ikhwan, that it is said concerning him was the Fir'aun at the time of Musa. The second, which is popularly mentioned, was Ramses the second. Ramses the second, who was the 19th, or his reign was considered the 19th dynasty of the pharaohs of Egypt, and he reigned from 1279 to 1219 BC. Haman, then. If we look at both of these pharaohs, Haman, the first, if we look at Ramses the second, then Ramses the second had a son whose name was Amun-Her-Khepsef. Amun-Her-Khepsef. Amun for short. That name, I'm sure you will agree, and it is the anglicized version of the name, or the anglicized version of the name, Amun. It resembles Haman. And his son reigned alongside him for a period of 25 years. The first pharaoh that we mentioned, whose name was Thutmose the third, he had a son, and if you look at the life of this pharaoh, you'll find, Ikhwan, that it is his life, as dictated by the historians, is very, very resemblant to that which we read in the Quran concerning the pharaoh that existed at the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And it just so happened that his son, as occurs in the story, his son's name was Amenhotep. Amenhotep, or Amen for short. Amenhotep, who in actuality was given the position of ruler at the time and during the time of the life of that pharaoh. He didn't succeed his father. He ruled alongside his father. The Amen ruled alongside his father for the last 2 years of his life. And his father, Thutmose, commanded that he build a tower. And that tower is referred to as the obelisk, one of the Egyptian obelisks. And the Egyptian obelisk is, Ikhwan, the tower that was built by Amenhotep exists to this day. It was taken from Egypt by the Romans, and they carried the tower to Italy, and it exists in Rome to this very day. There are some 8 or 9 Egyptian obelisks. They refer to them as obelisks. You've probably seen them, those large towers with the points at the top. You inevitably would have seen them in pictures or what have you. The largest of them was built the son of this pharaoh, who was commanded, the pharaoh commanded him to build that tower and to erect that tower. And it continues, as we mentioned, to exist to this very day. So whether we're looking at Amen, because Amenhotep was named after the god, the Egyptian god, Amun-Ra. Amun-Ra, which was a god that the Egyptian pharaohs would name their sons after. Amun. Resemblant, Ikhwan, to Haman. Amun, then, was the name that they would use, the name of the god that they would copy, and they would name their sons after. And they would name, on some occasions, individuals that were close to them, their grandsons, after that Egyptian god, Amun-Ra. But the point is, Ikhwan, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned throughout the Quran, Fir'aun and Haman, constantly throughout the Quran. Where would the Messenger of Allah have gotten it from? Where would the knowledge of this Haman have come from? Why would he mention him? If it were that he took it from the Bible, then why not just mention Fir'aun, as it occurs in the Bible? Who is this individual that is mentioned in the Quran alongside him? Not again, Ikhwan, we must return back to the explanation that is oftentimes given of the existence of the deen of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he was a man that existed in the desert. He only wanted to elevate the Arab, and so he wrote for them a book. Where would this information have come from, Ikhwan?
Another affair, Ikhwan, from the mu'ajizat of the Quran, and that which indicates clearly the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was the Messenger of Allah, is that which is related, Ikhwan, to a relatively recent discovery related to the sea. One of the things that have been realized and recognized of recent times is the presence of what are being referred to as internal waves. And that is that scientists have discovered the presence of waves beneath the waves. And they are not a product of the upper wave or the surface of the ocean. Rather, they say, they are a product of the gravitational pull that is present on Earth itself. They say that the gravitational pull has an effect upon that which is deep below the sea. And so the effect of gravity upon the planet and upon the earth causes beneath the sea the presence of ripples that create waves that they are only referred to as internal waves, because they are deep below the sea. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, Ikhwan, and as we mentioned, all of these ayat, they have occurred, Ikhwan, that which was given to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And anyone who hears the verses, it is for them to ask themselves the question, is it possible that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have just concocted this
from himself. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, أَوْ كَظُلُمَاتٍ فِي بَحْرٍ لُجِّي. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, or like the depth of darkness in a vast, deep ocean. Bearing in mind that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, فِي بَحْرٍ لُجِّي. And that is where the discovery of these internal waves have occurred. Some of those waves, ikhwan, the reason that it is a relatively recent discovery is because they are that deep. They are at a level that ordinarily human beings were not able to swim down so far. It's only now, ikhwan, with yani, the presence of certain types of submarine that are able to descend to that level or to that depth within the ocean. They've discovered, just as they've discovered sea valleys now that have a huge array of animals that are were previously undiscovered, yani aquatic life that exists within these sea valleys, that because of the fact that they were not able to get down so deep, they were not yani, they were undiscovered, but now they have discovered them alongside these internal waves. And so these waves occur deep within the ocean. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions, أَوْ كَظُلُمَاتٍ فِي بَحْرٍ لُجِّي يَغْشَاهُ مَوْجٌ مِنْ فَوْقِهِ مَوْجٌ مِنْ فَوْقِهِ سَحَابٌ. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions, or like the depths of darkness in a deep, vast ocean, overwhelmed with waves, topped by waves. One of the things that is mentioned concerning those internal waves is that they exist in an area within the sea that light doesn't reach. Again, one of the reasons, ikhwan, that they haven't been able to, or many of the new animals that they're discovering and the new aquatic life that has been discovered in the sea has only recently been discovered, is because of the level of darkness that is in that region, that is so far down. The light of the sun doesn't reach that level. And so it is extreme darkness. Yani here Allah Azza wa Jal speaks then of levels of darkness. And mentions, ظُلُمَات فِي بَحَرٍ, under the ocean. Yani an area where the light of the sun does not reach. He mentions, يَغْشَاهُ مَوْجٌ مِنْ فَوْقِهِ مَوْجٌ. And so it is covered and overwhelmed by waves, and on top of them are waves. And that, no doubt, is as it occurs, ikhwan, in the vast oceans, that we have the presence of these internal waves that, as we mentioned, are a product of the gravitational pull on the earth itself that creates those waves. Yani they are, if you like, tremors. Waves that are the product of tremors deep beneath the ocean. And then the waves that we see that are above them. Those waves being affected by the light of the sun and what have you. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions, and above them there are, or topped by clouds. Yani above them there are clouds. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions, ظُلُمَاتٌ بَعْضُهَا فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَاهَا. Allah mentions darkness on top of darkness. If he were to extend his hand, he would hardly see it. And that, no doubt, again, the same question arises. How would the messenger, with that level of description concerning something that was recently discovered, how would the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, know that we have various types of waves deep beneath the ocean, in a place that is extremely dark since the sunlight doesn't hit it? Darkness on top of darkness. How would the Messenger of Allah have known, ikhwan, what, yani, by way of what ilm? Because it didn't exist, not among the mushrikun, not among the people of the book, not among anyone, not among philosophers, not among anyone, this knowledge existed. Similarly, and again, ikhwan, returning back to what we said about him writing, if we're claiming, or if the claim is, that he wrote a book and he just wanted the people to follow him, he wouldn't write, ikhwan, within that book, and you have to put yourself in the psyche of a person who's going to write a book for people to follow him. He wouldn't write within that book something that would cause the people to say that he is Majnun, or that yani, there's some psychological issues going on. If we look at the verse wherein Allah Azza wa Jal speaks about the ants, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَوْا عَلَى وَادِ النَّمْلِ, as occurs in Surah An-Naml. قَالَتْ لَمْ نَمْلَ, when, and this is in reference, Ikhwan, to Sulaiman and the time of Sulaiman, which wasn't even a reference then to their actual period, but a reference to the time of Sulaiman. قَالَتْ نَمْلَ, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّمْلُ, اُدْخُلُوا مَسَاكِنَكُمْ لا يحتمنكم سليمان وجنوده وهم لا يشعرون. That Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, so when they came upon the valley of the ants, an ant said, O ants, enter your homes, so that you are not crushed by Sulaiman and his soldiers while they do not realize. Any that they and their soldiers don't kill you. Enter your homes. Here again, Ikhwan, return yourself back to the man that's writing a book for the Arabs to follow him, or any people to follow him. If I am going, or you, I'm sure, are going to write a book for individuals to follow you, and then you were to speak about spiders speaking, huh? Or yani, worms speaking, or ants speaking, Majnoon. That would be the response by anyone. That he had us when he was talking about the good character and stuff, but this ant speaking, worm speaking, spider speaking is a mushkila. If you were just going to write a book, if it were that, which is from the clearest of indications that the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was conveying, the affair did not return back to him and what he dictated. Or that he would say, leave that because they're going to say such and such. La. Al-amr min Allah Azza wa Jal. He was conveying. But it is now being discovered that ants speak. And it's actually, if you Google it, you will find videos, Ikhwan, on YouTube, where they've recorded this communication between ants that they have discovered. That ants actually communicate. And even if you watch a group of ants working, you'll see that they stop one another. It's almost there, they have a little chinwag. And then they carry on. Another one stops and has a word. And they carry on. It's literally as though, if you observe them, it is as though they're speaking to each other. But they have discovered that ants actually address each other. And that, though, Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed in the Quran, Ikhwan, some 1400 years ago. Again, something such as that, if it were that the Prophet ﷺ, as they claim, was writing a book for the people to follow, why would you mention something like that? Why risk it? Why? It may be accepted, it may be rejected. Why risk it? Here the Prophet ﷺ clearly, Ikhwan, was conveying from Allah Azza wa Jal. And that which he conveyed has now, in recent times, Ikhwan, been accepted and being fortified and established, that actually ants do speak and actually communicate. Similarly, Ikhwan, that which we have within the animal world, likewise in the Quran, in relation to the bees. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions concerning the bees, وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّهْلِ أَنِ اتَّخِذِي مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا وَمِنَ الشَّجَرِ وَمِمَّا يَعْرِشُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, and your Lord revealed to the bees, that you should build your hives in mountains. And this wahi is from the meanings of wahi. But it is wahi, Ikhwan, that is a reference to inspiration, not revelation, inspiration. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, and your Lord revealed to the bees, build your hives in mountains and trees and in what people? and in what people build. Then eat from females, from every fruit, and follow. Yani, then eat from every fruit and follow your Lord's enslaved path. And from their bellies it exits a drink of different colors, and in it is healing for mankind. Allah Azza wa Jal, when He addresses the affair, the address, ikhwan, is in the feminine. Kuli, yani eat you, when in reference to the nahl, in reference to the bees. Kuli, eat, wasluki, and live within, and so on. The address is in the feminine. That which is, again, recently discovered, is that it is actually the female bee that the pollen, or that takes the pollen, and that the pollen is converted into honey in their bellies. It is the female bee, and that they are the main workers among the bees, the female bee. And Allah Azza wa Jal in the ayat addresses in the feminine form, the question again. And we must continually repeat mentioning, how would Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam know? Another issue, ikhwan, is as it relates to a particular metal that is present on earth, and that is iron. One of the discoveries that have been made, ikhwan, concerning iron, is that the scientists, in the discussion of iron, they say that iron as a metal, they believe that it is, and initially they marveled over it. And they went on to continue to discuss it because of the fact that on a molecular level, iron appears to be molecularly constructed from nothing they can return back to earth. Bima'na, its atomic construction opposes anything that they are able to explain and return back to the original evolution then of the planet. Every single other metal they're able to explain. Any type of ore they're able to explain, and they're able to return it back to that which is present on the planet. But on a molecular level, the scientists, and again, ikhwan researching, scientists marvel over what is really happening as it relates to iron on an atomic level. They can't explain where iron has come from because of the fact that molecularly its construction is different. And so the almost agreed upon theory is that iron came to Earth from another star, or some mention from another planet, but generally from a star. And they believe that iron is the product of the explosion of either a neutron star or another star from another galaxy. That star exploded, and the debris from the core of that star fell on Earth. And it is on the basis of that we have iron. Because they say molecularly, it is not of this planet. And so they argue about which star, what type of star, and so on. And the fierceness or the level of the heat that star, you know, they try and reason about what type of star it was by looking at the possible structure of the atoms within iron, and the level of heat that it should have or must have achieved for it to have that structure, and so on. And so they say, anyway, ikhwan, the main issue is that they say it is not from Earth. It is clearly not from Earth, and they can't explain where it has come from, and that is their only theory. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, ikhwan, as occurs in Surah Hadid, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُولَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنْزَلْنَا مَعْهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانِ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that indeed we have sent our messengers with clear evidence, and we sent down to them the scripture and the balance, that they may maintain their affairs in justice. And then Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدِ فِيهِ بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرَهُ وَرُسُولَهُ بِالْغَيْبِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, and we sent down iron, wherein is great, mighty, military might, and benefits for the people. And so that Allah Azza wa Jal may make evident those who support him and his messengers in the unseen. Indeed, Allah Azza wa Jal is all powerful and exalted in might. Allah Azza wa Jal then mentions, وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدِ, that indeed we have sent hadid down. We sent iron down. Again, Ikhwan, the fact that iron then is not from earth, and the fact that iron originated elsewhere, outside of earth, how possibly would the Messenger of Allah, why would he, if it were that he were just creating a book, why would he discuss or make mention of something that would sound to the Arab gharib and ajib? What do you mean we sent iron down? Why is Muhammad even saying this? Why would Muhammad make such a claim? We sent iron down? Yani he ya'ti bil gharaib, Muhammad. That would be their claim. But when Muhammad constantly mentions, verily I am nothing but a Rasul, I am conveying, that is it, that is the kalam of my Lord. And that then is what we find, Ikhwan, throughout the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being from the messengers and one that conveys. There were certain things that took place during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ikhwan, that fortified for them the fact that the Messenger of Allah was the Messenger of Allah. From those affairs, the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, غُلِبَتِ الرُّومِ فِي أَدْنَى الْأَرْضِ وَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ غَلَبِهِمْ سَيَغْلِبُونَ فِي بِضْعِ سِنِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions Rome, the Romans have been overpowered. فِي أَدْنَى الْأَرْضِ. In this term, Adan al-Ard is a reference either to a low plane of earth or to a near plane of earth, a near region. The ayah is in reference, Ikhwan, to that which took place between the Romans and the Persians. The Romans, they fought against the Persians during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and the Romans, Ikhwan, were a people of the book at that time. And so the believers, they were behind the Romans. They wanted that the Romans would win over the Persians, who were people of shirk. Well, the mushrikun from among the Arab and Quraysh, they wanted the Persians to win because they were mushrikun. And so there occurred between the believers and the mushrikun something from a discussion and debate over who would win. It transpired that the Romans were defeated. And Allah Azza wa Jal made mention of that, revealed that to them, to the believers. غُلِبَتِ الرُّومِ فِي أَدْنَى الْأَرْضِ. This term, أَدْنَى الْأَرْضِ, as we mentioned, Ikhwan, it is a reference either to distance or level, height. The battle that took place and that occurred between them took place in the Dead Sea Basin, in a region, an area known as the Dead Sea Basin. And it was a similar region wherein Allah Azza wa Jal destroyed the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. It is known, Ikhwan, to be the lowest place on earth in terms of sea level. The Dead Sea Basin is the lowest plain on earth. And Allah Azza wa Jal makes mention, fi adna al-ard, that they were conquered in the lowest of adna al-ard. Then Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, وَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ غَلَبِهِمْ سَيَغْلِبُونَ. After they are overpowered, then they shall overpower, they shall conquer. In bid'a sinin, in such and such years. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he had a bet with one of the mushrikun that it would be within some 7 years. And after 7 years, they didn't defeat them. And so he lost the bet. And so went to the Prophet ﷺ concerning that. And so he said, why did you do such a thing? So the Prophet, so Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he said, because Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, وَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ غَلَبِهِمْ سَيَغْلِبُونَ فِي بَذْءِ السِّنِينَ. And so the Prophet ﷺ said, but it mentions بِذْءِ السِّنِينَ. بِذْءِ is not a specific amount of years, but it is a number from between 3 and 9. On the 9th year, I was going to say to you, you know, this doesn't look stable at all, you know. Inshallah. In the 9th year, they conquered. And so Abu Bakr Siddiq lost the bet, but the ayah remained true. And that was that Allah Azza wa Jal gave them victory over their enemies after the said period that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. Similarly, Allah Azza wa Jal makes mention, ikhwan, of that which occurred during the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that no doubt occurs, ikhwan, in Surah Fath, when Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, لَقَدْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ الرُّؤْيَا بِالْحَقِّ لَتَدْخُلُنَّ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامَ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ مُحَلِّقِينَ رُؤُوسَكُمْ وَمُقَسِّرِينَ لَا تَخَافُونَ. Allah mentions that indeed Allah has established the dream of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam بالحق, in truth. لَتَدْخُلُنَّ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامَ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ. كذا عشر 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 بعد عشر دقائق عشر دقائق خلاص خلاص. Now, that Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned that indeed the dream of the Allah Azza wa Jal established the dream of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in truth. لَتَدْخُلُنَّ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامِ. Indeed, you shall enter the Masjid al-Haram. Insha'Allah. Aminin. In safety. مُحَلِّقِينَ رُؤُوسَكُمْ وَمُقَسِّرِينَ. Shaving your heads. Or shortening your hair. لا تخافون. And you will not be in fear. Those of you, ikhwan, who are acquainted with the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, when the Prophet ﷺ had that, or the ayah was revealed to him, the Prophet ﷺ had a dream. And that was while they were in Medina. And they dreamed that they would go and make Umrah. And so the companions, ridwanullahi alayhim, alongside the Prophet ﷺ, they prepared themselves and they traveled towards Mecca to make Umrah. Since the Prophet ﷺ had a dream. When they arrived at a region known as Hudaybiyah, which is just outside of Mecca, they were prevented by the mushrikun from among the Arab, prevented them from entering Mecca, and they remained in that region and established and agreed upon a pact between themselves and the mushrikun. When that occurred, Umar radiallahu anhu and others from among the companions, they said, but Messenger of Allah, you saw in a dream that we would enter the Masjid al-Haram. You saw it in a dream. So Prophet ﷺ responded, but did I say in this year? We saw it in a dream. We went to try it. It didn't occur. Allah Azza wa Jal didn't tell me that we will enter this year. But it was something that we saw in a dream. So the Prophet ﷺ responded, and did I say this year? And then they had, ikhwan, the established pact and sulh of Hudaybiyah that lasted for a period. And in that time, they were able to spread the da'wah in Allah Azza wa Jalla. And it was a beneficial time. Even though initially it appeared to be against the Muslimun and against the believers. In that period, it was not permissible for any individual who had made the migration from Mecca, any individual who was in Mecca, to travel to migrate to Medina. If anyone had travelled from Mecca, was a believer in Mecca, had not yet made hijrah, and intended to travel to Medina to join the Messenger of Allah, the Messenger would have to send him back. And that, after they agreed upon the pact, an individual known as Abu Jandal, who was being persecuted by the Arab, by the mushrikun from among the Arab, Abu Jandal came in fetters, chained, he had escaped. He had escaped, got away from them, came in fetters and fell in front of the Prophet ﷺ and the companions. In chains and fetters. يعني I'm being persecuted as a believer. And you're here, Messenger of Allah. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, based on the pact, had to send Abu Jandal back to Mecca. And so the companions, they said that indeed it is the day that they referred to as Yawm Abi Jandal, the day of Abu Jandal. It was the day, Ikhwan, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had to, in fulfilling the pact, maintain that which was present within it. And that was, if anyone tried to leave, they would have to get sent back. It was a period, Ikhwan, that was difficult, of course, for the companions. You're watching your brother, Ikhwan, in that state, having to get sent back. Sa'ab. But what it indicates, likewise, is the strong basira of our ulama. When they pass verdicts such as the permissibility of having a contract between the people of Palestine and the Yahud, that is something, Ikhwan, that is present within these ahadith and within these narrations that have come from the Prophet ﷺ. The jahil, he would make an issue out of it and say, no, it's haram, and that this man works for the government and so on. Why? يعني مبنيون على بحكم جهله. This is on the basis of his jahil, he makes those statements. But this is something that was manifest in the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But in any case, Ikhwan, Allah Azza wa Jal established the ayah in the years that were to come. Al-Imam Ibn Kathir, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentions concerning the affair and the tafsir of the ayat. وَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَا قَدْ أُرِيَ فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنَّهُ دَخْلَ مَكَّةِ وَطَافَ بِالْبَيْتِ فَأَخْبَرَ أَصْحَابَهُ بِذَلِكِ وَهُوَ بِالْمَدِينَةِ فلما ساروا عام هديبية لم يشك جماعة منهم أن هذه الرؤيا تتفسر هذا العام. فلما وقع ما وقع من قضية الصلح ورجعوا عامهم ذلك على أن يعيدوا من قابلين. ووقع في النفوس بعض الصحابة من ذلك شيء حتى سأله عمر بن الخطاب في ذلك رضي الله عنه فقال له فيما قال أفلم تكن تخبرنا أننا سنأتي البيت ونطوف فقال بلى فأخبرتك أن نأتيه العام قال قلت لا قال فإنك آتيه ومطوف به. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, during that year, and Imam al-Kathir, he mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ saw in a dream that they would enter the Masjid al-Haram and that they would make tawaf around the bayt. And so he informed his companions, Ridwanullahi alayhim, concerning that while they were in Medina. And so when they went during the year of Hudaybiyah, none of the companions had any doubt that they would make, or that the ru'ya and that the dream would be explained and manifest in that year. He said, and so when that occurred, or what occurred, from the affair of the sulh and from the affair of the pact and the treaty, and they returned that same year. They returned on the basis that they would return the following year. He said, but that occurred, or something occurred in the hearts of the companions, and so Umar radiallahu anhu, he asked the Prophet ﷺ concerning that, and he said, did you not say and inform us that we would go to the bayt and make tawaf? He said, that is the Prophet ﷺ, he responded, bala, he said, yes I did, of course. He mentioned, فَأَخْبَرْتُكَ أَنَّا نَأْتِيهِ الْعَامِ, but did I say and did I inform you the fact that we'd do it this year, that it would happen this year? He said, so Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, la. He said in response, فَإِنَّكَ تَأْتِيهِ وَمُطَوِّفٌ بِهِ. He said, verily, indeed, you shall come to it and you shall make tawaf around it. And that occurred, Ikhwan, a year later, when the companions, ridwanullahi alayhim, they made tawaf around the bayt, as occurred in those verses. There is much to be mentioned, Ikhwan, and we'll mention one last verse, and that is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal concerning the tamkeen of the mu'mineen, them being established in the earth. Any individual that studies the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will see, ikhwan, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, particularly in the initial years in Mecca, they went through hardship, they went through persecution. None of them knew what their outcome would actually be. Of course, they believed in Allah Azza wa Jalla and they followed His Messenger and they believed in everything that came to them. But none of them knew, for example, how they would pass away. None of them knew what would come of them. But Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed in an ayah that establishes clearly, ikhwan, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the messenger of Allah. Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed to the messenger in Surah Nur, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّ لَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions that Allah Azza wa Jalla has promised those who believe and work righteous deeds that He shall establish them in the earth, just as He established those who came before them, and that He shall establish the deen that He loves for them, Islam, and that He shall change their state from one of fear to one of aman. He shall change their state from one of fear, which indicates one that these verses were revealed during periods of fear. And naturally, during those periods, it is not possible to say categorically that we'll get through this period unless you have information from Allah Azza wa Jal concerning that. So Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, and that He shall exchange their state from one of fear to one of aman, to one of security, with the condition, يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا, with the condition that they worship me and that they make no shirk with me. And so we see, ikhwan, the manifestation of that which was present within that verse. How, imagine, if the Prophet ﷺ was authoring a book, how would it be possible to say with that level of conviction that Allah Azza wa Jal shall establish you and that you shall, your chain shall, or the deen that you are now presently in fear practicing, that it shall be established for you, and that your state shall change from one of fear to one of security when you worship me and when you make no shirk with me. How would the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam able to make or to speak with that level of certainty and yaqeen and conviction if it was something, ikhwan, that he authored himself? And why would you even mention it? Why risk it? Because if it was disproven and if it didn't occur as I thought it would, then people would say that my book is false and that my message is one that isn't true. If the Prophet ﷺ were just writing those words himself, why would he risk that type of verse or that type of mention? The only way that ayah could occur, ikhwan, is if it came from the one who يعلم السر والأخفى يعلم الغيب والشهادة, the one who knows the unseen and the seen and knows that which is to come, indicating clearly that the Messenger of Allah, ikhwan, was a messenger of Allah. He was one that conveyed from his Lord, and these verses are from Allah Azza wa Jal himself, and that Allah is informing the dunya, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Allah Azza wa Jal is the one that is informing the dunya of this promise that we saw manifest after the death of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Islamic land spread, ikhwan, from Europe to the Far East. The whole of that region dominated by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the followers of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his khulafa and their subjects and those who were under their jurisdiction. Just as the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that indeed إِنَّ اللَّهَ زَوَّى لِيَ الْأَرْضَ as occurs in a hadith in Sahih Muslim. إِنَّ اللَّهَ زَوَّى لِيَ الْأَرْضِ فَرَأَيْتُ مَشَارِقَهَا وَمَغَارِبَهَا. That indeed Allah Azza wa Jal showed manifest to me the whole earth. I saw its easts and I saw its wests. And I was informed that the mulk of my ummah, that indeed that which they possess and that which will be under their jurisdiction will be that which was shown to me. And those promises and those statements of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again, ikhwan, have come not from the Messenger of Allah himself, but a wahi, revelation, sent down to him. Just as every verse that we've read, and every verse that we study, and every verse in the book of Allah that you will read, is nothing, ikhwan, but the kalam of Rabb al-Alameen, nazala bihi ruh al-Ameen, the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal, that was sent down and came to the Prophet ﷺ by way of Jibra'il alayhi salatu wasalam, that indeed he may be from among the Mubashireen, Al-Mundireen, those who give glad tidings and those who warn. Nasallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala yuwaffiqna wa iyyakum lima yuhibbuhu wa yirdaah, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Our apologies, ikhwan, for the tatweel. I mean, we've had you sitting here for a number of hours. Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you for your patience, inshaAllah. Jazakum Allah khair. Hayakum Allah. Barakallahu feek.